Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Happy New Year, brand new year, and we've got some New Year's resolutions for you. Your iPad can help. We'll also play the game that's costs John a lot of money. And I got to warn you, it looks like it could cost you a lot of money, too. It's that fun. And we'll show you how to stop eating forever. It's time for iOS Today. iOS Today is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron will send you fresh, high-quality ingredients to cook delicious meals with simple step-by-step instructions right to your door. See what's on the menu this week and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/twit. And by FreshBooks, the ridiculously easy-to-use cloud accounting software used by over 10 million small business owners. Try it free for 30 days at freshbooks.com/twit. Hey, iOS Today time, the first show of 2017 on the whole Twit network, I think. Did we do anything this morning? No, we had a pre-record for a triangulation. Megan Maroney is not here. She's still on the slopes in Montana, although I worry about her. I worry about her. She seems to be having some accident issues. They drove there. That's where her husband's family's from. And they were forced off the road by a rude driver. She posted on her Instagram and Facebook a picture of their family car deep in the snowdrifts. They had to get a tow truck to pull them out, but everybody was okay. And now I see pictures of her with big Band-Aids on her nose. Apparently, she was skiing. A ski came off and whacked her in the face. So, Megan, come back. It's safer here. Fortunately, this week we've got a great fill-in host. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Georgia Dow from iMore.com. Hi, Georgia.
Hi, Leo.
Happy New Year.
Doing? Happy New Year to you, too.
2017. Show them the
already.
Piece of paper.
Oh, I folded it away. So,
she had a piece of paper.
Yeah, here we go. This is me practicing.
Writing 2017. And then, My question, I mean, it used to be that was a big problem with the new year that you would write your checks wrong, right? Do people write checks anymore? Do you write checks?
I don't think many people write checks anymore, but it is a real pain if you happen to write the wrong date on it. For me, I write insurance receipts, so it would be a lot of paperwork to rewrite it. And I have to do like 20 a day, so it's a real pain. So I really make sure that I've practiced enough. I'll probably still write 2016. It probably
That's
won't make
so
any
funny.
Difference.
When you were a teenager, did you write the name like Mrs. Georgia Dow like 100 times to practice?
I did. I really wanted to have beautiful handwriting, but I have horrible, horrible handwriting, like really bad handwriting. So I would try to do that, and then I would throw it out because it looked so bad.
My penmanship was terrible, but then the world came to meet me because I don't write anymore, so it doesn't matter. I don't need to. Do your kids learn penmanship in school?
They do, and in one class they did a little bit of in cursive writing too, which is so strange. And they did that 1 year for half the year and then never returned to it again.
So it's somebody in Canada, Megan, I'm going to call you Megan a few times. Georgia,
you can call me Megan. I'll answer to Megan. That's okay.
Georgia joins us from Montreal.
I love Megan.
And so your kids are in the Canadian school system. And apparently at some point halfway through the year, somebody decided, nah, no more cursive.
They're never going to use it.
Who would have thought that we would live in an age where cursive would be like copper plate? It would be like, what are you using, a metal nib or a quill? How are you?
Yeah. Well, the funniest thing is that in high school, I took a typing class because I thought it was going to be easy. So I took this typing class, learned how to type properly. And that was probably one of the best classes and most useful skills.
Exactly.
But at the time, I just took it because I'm like, there's not going to be a difficult test at the end of it. But now I type really quickly.
I wish I had. I never learned. I learned, like most people in my profession who write for a living, I learned by having to type fast with two fingers like that. And I guess I've kind of migrated to using more of my fingers, but it's not hunt and peck. I know where the keys are.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Actually, that's one of my complaints. And we were talking before the break. You have not bought one of the new Touch Bar MacBook Pros. And increasingly, I've come to the opinion that it's don't. My initial reaction after a few weeks was, well, I don't really use the Touch Bar because it's always changing. If you're a touch typist, you have to look down and see, well, what is it today? And then find it. Even it's frustrating even when I want to hit Escape, which I do more often than I realized, or I want to use a function key, I have to look down or even just turn up the volume. And it really breaks your concentration if you're typing and on the screen. But now I found a new problem. I've been doing a lot of – I spent my vacation programming, writing, you know, learning computer programming, which I knew some of. I've done a lot of programming in my past, but I want to keep up to date with what the kids, the new languages. And
very cool.
Yeah. Well, that's my hobby, believe it or not. What a weird...
It's a great hobby.
I'm a weirdo.
You don't need it for work. That's the interesting thing.
Yeah, no, I definitely don't. I'm learning Haskell. I mean, nobody needs Haskell for anything, but it's really, really cool. Anyway, I find myself hitting the touch bar a lot, and that's a typo. So I want to disable it, which means now, why did I buy it? I wish Apple would offer a higher-end MacBook Pro like they used to without a touch bar. I love the fingerprint reader, all for it. You know, once you get used to that on iOS, and this is a show, by the way, not about Macintosh, but about iOS, you want it everywhere, and I love it. But anyway.
I think that if you use Photoshop or Final Cut Pro, then that's when it's going to be more useful.
If you live in an app. Yeah, if you live in an app and I guess memorize the touch bar for it, yeah. But you'd have to live in that app. I don't live in one app.
No, it wouldn't be useful for me either.
No. So, Georgia, we actually, this was imposed upon us by Megan Maroney. I wouldn't take it personally if I were you. I think she aimed it at me. This is the beginning of a new year, and we need to be better people. We do. I do. And so we're going to help you. We're going to use your iPad to become, do people make resolutions still?
I think they do. I think that even if you don't make resolutions the new year, you think, well, what is this year going to bring? What am I going to set up for? What am I going to do? I don't think that I make resolutions per se, but I do think about what would I like to accomplish during
this year.
I think
that's appropriate. I mean, obviously it's an arbitrary calendar date, but it's good to kind of say, okay, fresh start here. And the problem with New Year's resolutions, and I'm seeing this more and more, is nobody expects to keep them. So it's one of those things where you do it, but you know, I'm off the hook. It's not going to happen. So let's make this a more effective thing. One of the things my wife wants to do, and I noticed this has become all the rage in Silicon Valley, is a vision board. Have you looked at vision boards at all? Have you ever played with those?
I have. I think that they're really neat, especially if you do one and you have it after you print it up and set it up somewhere so you can look at it. It's a nice way of inspiring yourself.
Yeah. I'm looking here at Alex Wilhelm, who's one of our regulars on the shows. He writes for Mattermark. He's doing his vision board. And what he's doing is kind of what the normal vision board, which is cutting things out of a magazine and putting them on a physical board. And I thought, well, why don't we do this? Couldn't we do this on our iPad? So turns out there are a lot of vision board apps. This is from Hay House, which is a well-known publisher of self-help books. And they actually give you cork. And you can tap on the plus and add photos from your library. Select photos from the internet. Take a photo. Add some affirmations that they come with. Mess with the background. Make your board into a meme. You could post it. That's helpful, isn't it, to get some support from the outside world. Add fun stickers. I think this is cool, but you made a good point. Like, you're missing the physicality of this.
Yeah, there's something nice I think that this makes it easier. Mm-hmm. Because you don't have to search, as you were pointing out before, Leo, we don't really have many magazines or pictures. Well, you might not have them in the house. You're
Lisa
like, what are scissors? How do you use these things?
Lisa said, let's do a vision board. I said, well, with what? We don't have any.
Yeah,
I've got.
Right.
I could buy a board. Yeah. Am I going to go buy magazines? So let's see. I'm going to do a photo from the, let's see. Let's do a photo from, you know what? Here's one of my visions, to spend more time with Georgia Dow. So let's put her in my vision board, and I'm going to use that photo. So you're on my vision board now, you know, and I can.
Awesome.
It's kind of physical, right? I mean, it's a cork, looks
kind
like
of,
a cork board. and I can do that.
Can you draw a mustache on me or something?
Possibly. I could do voice memos.
Eat less sugar. There.
Eat less sugar. Good. Tap once to play, tap twice to erase. Eat less sugar. Well, that's commitment, huh? You can really tell. I'm down on that. I can make a meme. I can let's add a sticker. And then it has a sticker. Oh, no. Store. So some of these stickers, like Apple stickers, cost $1.99, but some of them don't. Dating, marketing, St. Patrick Day, weather. And then, I like that. I like that. Let's download the, I've already downloaded those stickers. That's good. All right. Now, let's see. Summer stickers. Oh, this is fun. So I that's definitely something I want to do. I want to travel more, right?
So I'm gonna
yeah. Yeah. Travel's big. So this is, I guess this is, if you don't have magazines and you don't know how to use scissors, or maybe you don't want to use scissors with a kit or glue, this is okay.
It's cute. Plus, you can print it out and then put it up on the wall. It's nice to... The problem with having it on an application is that once you close the app, you don't have anything to remind you anymore.
Right.
I think that they're great for fleshing out ideas, especially when you're not sure of what you really want or how you'd like to do it.
Yeah. Well, so there you go. I think that maybe that's one way to do this. What do you have for us to make me?
So I have one that's like a basic of everything, and it's called Productive. And so for this application, what you can do is it goes through anything that you might want to do. So take out, exercise a little bit more or drink more water or, be careful my sugar consumption. And so it allows you to kind of It gives you reminders. You set your own limits to how many times you want to do it. So I said play sports. I want to do that at least twice a week so that I'm keeping active, doing something that's fun. And so whenever I do it, I tap it down. It can remind me for that. And then it'll have the stats of when you're doing it, which is lovely. Like, it's going to be able to track how many days did I do that? What's my streak? What's my best streak? What are the habits to it? My averages per day. And you can add different types of things. So if you're looking... to stretch, if you're looking to, have nice conversations with someone, you can even track those down, which is, I think, nice because you can make your own, habits that you want to create.
I like that. I mean, I love the idea of doing resolutions, but I think that just saying a list, somebody published, it was really cool, the list of Marilyn Monroe's, when she was 29, so it was 1955, New Year's resolutions. It was mostly go to acting class more, study acting, treat my instrument better. It's really fun to see those and just making a list. But I like the idea of having something a little bit more all year round, I guess. And this is more an all year round app, right?
Yeah, and it'll set you a little reminder, which is what I need, is that I just forget. World kind of gets ahead of me. I'm really busy. I have downtime. And then I'll forget that I even made, I'll put down forget in quotations, that I even made this resolution to do it. So I need that reminder.
Yeah. I like it. Woody Guthrie, the same people who did, let me see if I can find this, resolutions. The same people who did Marilyn Monroe's this year, last year did Woody Guthrie's New Year's resolutions. And I kind of like them. He did them in the old days, people would do Woody Guthrie, of course, This Land Is Your Land, This Land Is My Land, the great folk singer. He put it in a book, and he calls them New Year's Rulins.
Ooh.
It's hip. Work more and better. But this is from 1946, I think. Work more and better. Work by a schedule. Wash teeth, if any. And he did little doodles, which I like. Shave.
Wash teeth, if ever.
Any.
I like that. Yeah. If any of the teeth you have.
If you have teeth, wash them.
Yeah.
Shave, take bath, eat good, fruit, vegetables, milk. See, even in the 40s, people knew what eating good meant. Drink very scant, if any. And he's got a little doodle of him putting his hand out saying, no booze. This is the one I like. Write a song a day. Wear clean clothes.
Wow.
Look good. Shine shoes. Change socks. Change bedclothes often. It's telling when you read somebody's list because presumably this is something he's had trouble doing.
Right.
Read lots of good books. Listen to radio a lot. Like that one, Woody. Keep that up. Learn people better. Keep Rancho clean. Don't get lonesome. Aw, stay glad. So this, it is an insight, isn't it? I'm sure as a therapist, you look at this and you can say, this is kind of an insight into somebody's, what they're struggling with. Keep hoping machine running. Dream good. Bank all extra money. Save dough. That's really two of the same. Have company, but don't waste time. Oh, I like that. Company can waste your time. So he's got.
It's true.
He's booting somebody out now.
I think that's a good one to highlight.
Yeah.
Really, your time is precious. Who you spend it with is really important.
Choose your friends wisely. Send Marion kids money. Play and sing good. Dance better. Help win war. Beat fascism. So I guess it was earlier than 46. It was during the World War II. Love mama. Love papa. Love Pete. Love everybody. Make up your mind is last one. Wake up and fight.
Nice.
Yeah. That's Woody Guthrie. So in that vein, let's have more peacefulness in our lives. Are you ready?
That would be good.
Buddhify?
But how do you? That is one. I like Buddhify. It is. It's kind of like centering your inner Zen. The cute thing, I think that a lot of the applications can be difficult to use and stressful. What I like about Buddhify is that it just says, "What are you doing?" So it was interesting because it's right away. When I did this in the middle of the night, I picked Buddhify. I used to have it and then I got rid of it when I updated my phone. And it was the middle of the night and it said, can't sleep. Want to meditate. And I went, you know what? Yeah. And so it gives you the time, which is lovely. And then it talks you through, you know, you're not sleeping well. And so you have this little friend and, you know, it's a soft, soothing voice that I think in itself will put you to sleep.
Well, let me
and so it's
it.
Kind of like, yeah.
Click to play or swipe. So
yeah, click one of them.
Oh, I see. Are you ready? Here we go. This is settle. Now, don't listen to this if you're driving.
No, and you'll have to press play first.
Okay, and let me make sure just, which I should have done, that we've got the volume up. Yes, we do. Oh, but is it playing the headphones? Yes.
There we go.
Okay, so let's now settle.
It's perfectly normal to not be able to sleep.
Yes.
In fact, given the vast amount of information we experience during the day, it's to be expected that all of its momentum will have our minds spinning come nighttime.
I like this. And I always like a British voice. So these are different, like different things you could choose?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. If you're having difficulty with your emotions, it goes through,
okay,
you know, different ways.
I got to try this one. It says whack.
It can be a bit arrogant to think that all people who can't sleep need do is listen to a meditation, and then they'll be out like a light.
That sounds like Andy.
Just like that. Magic.
Andy Puddycomb. So is this from a website called Buddhify, right?
I think that there's also a website.
Yeah.
I've only used it on my phone because that's what I have with me when next to my bed if I can't sleep. And so I just put the earphones in, just pop them out when I'm done, let it go and fall asleep on its own.
Here's a good one. Being online. Zoom, Blink, Connect, Surf, Device, Back. So you pick one of these. What is this supposed to reflect? How you feel or?
Yeah, it reflects on where you're wanting to. Are you wanting to connect? Are you just surfing the web?
Uh-huh.
You know, what are you dealing
with
it? I would say, mine would just say, like, just stop, turn it off. But, you
don't
know,
be online.
Unless you're watching us, then right. Keep it on.
And then this solo is, I guess, just a kind of like a solo meditation or?
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, I was starting to do something. Let me listen. So you would close your eyes and sit and meditate to this? Is that the idea? I just would get bored. Okay, next.
Yeah. I like guided meditation a little more.
Guided. I do. I use Calm and I use Headspace. Those are a couple of apps that I would recommend. Headspace was a sponsor for some time. I think they might still be. Those are guided meditations. So they say, imagine you're walking down a road. That's Andy Puddycomb and stuff like that. I like that.
Yeah.
And this is cool. This is a social element to this. Is it where the app can I use this with my child? I'm falling asleep during the tracks. Am I doing it wrong? It's not wrong to fall asleep during meditation. It could just mean you're tired.
Don't overthink it.
This is nice. This is Buddhify. And it's $5. But I'm glad I have it. It's like a little Buddha in your pocket.
That's right. Exactly.
Now, of course, most people's resolutions, I certainly mine, not yours so much, but mine are, yours I'm sure are more exercise focused. The two big categories are food and exercise. Mine's both, obviously. So my friend Kevin Rose, this kind of cracked me up. This week released a new app, a free app called Zero. And you're smart. You've probably seen all the research on fasting, right? There's all different kinds of fasting. So usually when I think fasting, I think, oh, you're just not going to eat for a few days or weeks and you're going to feel lightheaded and you're going to interpret that as being healthy when in fact you're eating your insides away. That's kind of what I'm saying. But he actually talks about different kinds of fasting. Circadian rhythm fasting, which is what Kevin does, you only eat when the sun is up. And this will help you do it. So you track, but that's one. There's some other ones. There's intermittent fasting where you say 2 days on, 5 days off or whatever. That's the 5-2 diet, actually. And then you can customize this how often you're going to fast for how long and so forth. But he's really created this. It's called Zero. It's free on the iPhone and the iOS. He's really created this because this has saved him. So it calculates the sunset sunrise time. It gets sunset is in 3 hours. So you want to start fasting as close to sunset as possible. So in theory, I would just stop eating at sunset, and then I wouldn't eat again till the sun came up. You know, it might be worth doing. It tracks all of this. What I do like is he has a tab called Science where you can watch some YouTube videos about this, these various techniques. This is Dr. Sachin Panda, who is a professor at the Salk Institute for Biological Studies on time-restricted feeding and its effects on obesity, muscle mass, and health. I have a theory, though, why this works for Kevin. It would work for me because I go out to eat at night. And just doing this by itself, I wouldn't be going out to eat anymore.
I think that it keeps us away from the times that we would eat because we're bored or there's nothing to do or just
nothing else.
You know, or you're feeling lonely or sad. I like the fact that it gives you some control over that. Like you learn to become disciplined, right, which I think is really nice. I think that for some people it wouldn't work because, you know, you don't want to go through sugar dumps. So if you're dealing with anxiety or depression, this may not be effective for you.
And this is why we have Georgia on, because she's the voice of reason. But Kevin's giving this away. It's called Zero. I've been tempted to try fasting. There is some, you know, medical evidence that a calorie-restricted diet is good for longevity and surprisingly for your immune system and other
things. That's true. Yeah. That is definitely true, yeah. Yeah. And there's some calorie-restricted diets that you eat quite a lot. There's some food that it takes more calories to digest the food than it is to eat them. Rabbit is one, and the other one's celery, interestingly enough. So if you eat a
calorie. I love celery. I love it. I eat all the time.
Well, there we go.
Yeah.
You lose weight while you eat celery.
And I put mayonnaise and peanut butter and all sorts of
things. Yeah.
Oh, I like how she said
that. It also increases your sodium count, though. There is a certain amount of salt in celery.
Oh, it's celery salt. How bad could that be?
It can't be bad. It can't be bad.
So you have. Come on. It's celery. What can it do?
Celery.
Celery.
So
you have a program that'll help me modify my intake. Show me this one.
Okay, so this one's mine, and I think that I'm actually going to do this. So I don't really want to lose weight, but usually, like every decade of your life, you gain another 10 pounds.
Yes.
So I'm like, you know what?
Yes.
I can tell. The funny story is, I took out I wear suits to work, and so I took out this suit, and then I put on the pants, and I went, oh, the dry cleaners shrunk them.
Yes, that happens to me all the time.
Yeah, I realized, oh, wait, no, that didn't happen. I've just gained weight and they don't fit anymore.
Yep.
So I'm like, what would actually help me diet? I probably could if I wanted to. I just think, you know what? The chocolate tastes so good and, you know, I'll diet tomorrow. And so this is Diet Bet. So this kind of puts your money where your mouth is. So it's a little bit competitive. You pool your money. You can choose $10. You can choose $100. And you say what you want to.
Wait a minute, I have to put $100, like I have to put money into this?
$10. You can put $10.
No, but it should hurt, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you know that what happens is that if you choose to do, say, the 6 month or the 4 week, you know, 4 week for like, say, 4% of your weight, what you do is that at the end, you have to send a picture. So it's not, I was thinking like people would just cheat, but no, you have to send a photo of you on the scale so that they know that you're not cheating.
Oh, Lord.
And there's there's referees that are going to track this. And then you go back, there's weekly challenges, and then by the month, then when it's over, if you lost out, the money gets pooled among everyone that won, and you get to share this money. You didn't lose the weight, then your money goes to everyone else that did win. And I'm like, you know what? That I would do. God. And so this is like, I think it's genius.
This doesn't sound legal.
I don't know. It's like betting. Wait, I don't know.
I'm amazed that this guy. So you choose the game that you're gonna bet in.
Yes.
And there's a variety of different games.
And you can choose to make your own game, or you can join one that's there already.
So here's Fitness with Teachers Diet Bet. You have to lose 4% in 4 weeks. It's a 4% in 4 weeks game. And then it has all the rules. And then you have to put money into it. So the bet is $35 in this case. So that's, there are 90 players already. So there's a $3,000 pot.
Yeah.
You haven't done this yet, so you haven't made any money.
I haven't yet, but I'm really interested because I've been, you know, wanting to lose like just a little bit of weight just so those I don't have to buy a new suit. I'm like, you know what, this would work for me because I'm competitive and I just eat because I'm like, you know what, I'm bored, I'm watching a TV show, I'm gonna grab some popcorn and chocolate and have a drink.
Yeah.
And so I'm just gonna munch away as I do it. But for this, I would then say, okay, well, I'm gonna grab some celery and some vegetables. I'll still munch while I watch the TV show. But it's really what you put in your mouth. So
this is the biggest one right now. Get lean in 2017 with Heidi and Chris Powell, who don't look like they need to go on a diet, let's be honest.
Yeah, that might be,
$30 bet, 10,000 players. The pot is $292,000 right
now. What do I have to do in that one? What's that?
4% in 4 weeks.
Oh, I could do that one, 4%. Okay,
yeah, and then they give you some rules. Choose one of these daily promises or make up one of your own. I'll eat breakfast within 30 minutes of waking up. I'll drink an extra quart of water. I'll work out for 5. These are easy things to do.
I can do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to be testing this one out for sure.
I'm going to do this too. I like this.
Are you?
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to hold you to it though. You have to actually do it then.
Okay.
You'll say it just for us, but I want you to actually try it out and see if
it works. Here's like a high stakes event, right? $150. That's another 4%er.
$4
is 4% of my weight. That's like 100 pounds. 4 pounds per 100. So if I weighed 300 pounds, let's say, that'd be 12 pounds, but I don't.
12 pounds, which is doable. That's doable.
It'd be 23 pounds, 22 pounds. Can I lose 22 pounds in 4 weeks? That's a lot.
But if you're paying $150, I tell you, you would have a lot of motivation to keep up to that.
You know what? You should consider this, folks. You don't want to lose 5 pounds a week. That's not appropriate for anybody. A pound and a half, 2 pounds a week. So consider that when you do pick your game. All right, I'm going to consider it. But that's good. I have one that I'm definitely doing. I will do this, and you will hold me to it. And I will hold you to it, okay?
Okay.
Because that isn't
I'm not going to say yes until I know what it is.
No, I won't say which one. No, the diet bet. We're going to do that together.
Okay,
right?
Okay, good.
That's one of the things I found about the Apple Watch that really has been helpful. Renee Ritchie is using this religiously, and as Megan is, and I'm using it. Are you using the Apple Watch workout?
It's the first thing I turned off.
Oh, because I was going to say, can I add you? But I guess...
I don't do it. I miss... Like, I can't do it for many of my sports. So I ski and I do martial arts, and I can't...
It doesn't count.
With my watch.
That bugs the heck out of me.
Count.
Yeah.
I'm like, eh.
So it does, fortunately, it does rowing and cycling, which I do, and it does treadmill and walking, which I do. So it's okay for me. But I find Renee, by the way, is a beast.
He will go out, and this is true. He'll come over to our place. It's late at night, and he'll be like, listen, I didn't make my activity goal. I'm going to go out and take a walk. Because he's now made it, I think it's like 3 to 4 months that he has hit his activity goal every single day.
Yeah.
And so he'll go out and like, you know, if it's 9 o'clock, he's like, you know what? It's freezing cold outside, but I have to make my walk.
It drives me
and
crazy.
So he'll head out. Yeah.
So let's see. He's right now. So I can see, this is what's cool about the watch. I can see where Megan stands. I only have two friends. I need more friends, but I can see where Megan stands. And I get a notification when Renee hits his goal or Megan hits her goal. And that motivates me, too, to compete with her, them.
Yes.
So I'm,
yes, but it's wonderful.
Renee's a sandbagger, because that's Renee right now. This is his actual circles right now. But he's a sandbagger, because here it is in the middle of the day. He hasn't done nothing. So I'm sitting back going, oh, no problem. I'm going to beat Renee this time. And then at like midnight, the circles all get filled.
Oh, he'll go out at 11. If he's missing, he'll go out at 11, and he'll make sure that he's going out. And it's freezing outside, but he's outside walking, and he makes sure that he hits his goals. It's amazing. It's been really useful.
You should see his, I mean, every day I get another badge. Renee did it again. And I got a badge yesterday that says Renee's done it for like 8 consecutive weeks. He's had perfect. It's like,
but it does motivate. That's why it works. It's true. It absolutely does. But then for me, it just made me feel bad. It would just be like, you know, missed another goal. And I was like, turning you off right away.
You know, I do think that having other people, you know, I use my fitness pal, our friend Dr. Mom in the chat room uses it. And every day I see Dr. Mom, congratulate Dr. Mom. She did 90 calories of exercise. And I just think that's really great. She's lost 60 pounds. It really has worked for her. So I do think that kind of support can be good. I foolishly, a couple of years ago, set up a Twitter account for my scale so that when I weigh myself, it tweets my weight.
Oh, no.
I also added my blood pressure to it.
That's
and now
horrible.
I don't go near the scale because I don't want anybody to know.
Yeah, I would never use the scale again. That's horrible.
Stay away
from
me.
That would be
me.
Horrible. I don't need to be publicly shamed about it. Yeah, you know, I don't need everyone to tweet out, no, Georgia, that wasn't the dry cleaner that shrunk your pants. I don't need...
Wait a minute. Okay, I'm going to help you here. Okay, I'm just going to tell you because I'm old now. I'm 60. And it turns out clothes do shrink as they, if they just sit in your closet, they actually shrink. I found this out. I did some research. It takes years. It takes, like, it'll have to be a 20-year-old pair of pants, but that might be a little smaller. Just
yeah, I don't think that's my case. I don't think it's the case. But I'll be on diet bet.
My Twitter account.
And that'll help.
If you want to see, I don't know when I've weighed myself last, is Leo's scale, Leo's _ scale. What was I thinking?
Leo's scale.
But this, it may be getting better because this is something I really want to do. I read a, was this in the New York Times this weekend? Somewhere I read, no, I think it was in the New Yorker. I'm not going to do, this is my, they suggested do this for a month. It's an education. Say, I'm not going to eat any sugar. I'm not saying sugar out of the sugar bowl, just, obviously you're not going to eat that. I'm saying don't eat any added sugar. So if there's sugar in fruit, that's fine. But I'm not going to eat anything with... Oh, stop it.
Oh, there we go.
Brian found it. When is the last time I weighed myself, Brian?
October,
my friends. And then before that, August. And before that, July.
I gained six pounds.
Did it help you lose weight or did it just...
It helped mortify me.
Oh, that's not good.
You know, it's good when you do lose weight, it's great. Because then you go...
Right.
Then when you gain some weight back, and that unfortunately is the biggest problem with weight loss programs, is you tend to gain them back, which is bad for you and bad for your morale. So when I gain it back, that's when it's not feeling so good. But I don't want... I'm going to try this. No sugar added. I'm just going to do it for 30 days. I might do it longer.
I got rid of soft drinks and like juice and other things like that, which is pretty easy to get rid of.
Here's part of the problem. There is a lot of added sugar in everything that you don't see. They hide it.
Mm-hmm.
I was just looking at something healthy the other day thinking, can I eat this? And I read the ingredients and it said organic evaporated cane juice. And I realized, well, that's sugar. That's how you make sugar. You take sugar cane and you evaporate it, and it's sugar. But they don't want to label it sugar. So this is a program, free program called Sugar Rush that will let you literally, this is great, scan a product. Here, let's just take a product. Scan a barcode. Where's my camera? There's got to be one here somewhere. Oh, yeah. Scan a barcode, and then it will show you, this is the Nature Valley Sweet and Salty Nut Granola Bar. It's got to be good for you. 1.8 teaspoons of added sugar. And then it gives you a fun sugar fact. Did you know sugar can lead to eczema in children? Oh, great. So this is about education, right? So surely there's no sugar in these. These are Ritz bits with cheese. This has got to be delicious, right? This has got to be good for you. Let's just scan the old barcode on the Ritz bits and see how much. They wouldn't put sugar in that. It's a savory treat. A teaspoon in one bag there, a teaspoon of sugar. So here's a fun one. Let's see if actually this doesn't have a barcode. So it has to have a barcode on it. Here's some crackers. Oh, peanut butter. See, I might eat those cheese crackers. I'm not saying no carbs. I'm just saying I don't want to eat any added sugar, right? Is there any added sugar in this? Let's see. Austin cracker sandwiches. Almost a teaspoon. So you wouldn't put a teaspoon of sugar in your mouth. Sugar can elevate glucose and insulin responses. So this is good. It's learn what's really in your food. This is simple education. And they also have another
app. And I thought that would be fun to do with your kids, too.
I think this would be great for kids.
I think my kids would really enjoy that.
Yeah.
Taking a look, seeing what's in it, and then deciding whether they want to eat it or not after the fact.
It's about education. It doesn't preach. It doesn't say, don't eat this. It just says, you know, sugar can cause constipation. And then you go, okay.
Right. It just tries to scare you.
I won't be eating that. Sugar Rush, that's free. Do you have another one? You have one more.
I have one more. So I think that getting yourself a little bit more educated and making education fun. So I think that we've probably spoken about this before, but this is the TED app. So you want to learn about foreign policy or something else, you can watch one of the TED Talk videos that are on a separate subject. And I think that they're fun. I listened, whenever we're really bored and we don't know what we're going to be watching, we're like, oh, let's take a look at some of the most popular TED Talks. And easy, simple, just plays. And while you're doing housework or something else, if you don't have an audiobook set up, you can watch a TED Talk.
I agree. I think they're wonderful. Although if you watch enough of them, you start to get a sense of the kind of standard how TED Talks work. This is a joke about TED Talks.
I am a thought leader. You know that I'm a thought leader because I'm wearing a blazer, I have glasses, and I've just done this with my hands.
He's steepling his fingers.
I'll now walk over to my laptop. By doing so, I'm demonstrating to you that as a thought leader, I understand technology and that there will be slides. Because everybody knows that a presentation seems more legitimate than it actually is if there are slides. I'm now going to come back to the center of the stage and give you some unremarkable context about how I became a thought leader. If it's okay with you, I'd like to pace while telling you this story.
And the people are nodding in the audience. They have the fake TED audience.
Walking over here, I'm going to change the tone of my voice. And I'm going to tell you an unremarkable story that's seemingly unrelated. And it's funny. And you'll know it's funny because I'm laughing and you're laughing. And you'll ask yourselves, what does this have to do with his talk? What is the point? Well, coming back to the center and slowing my speech.
You get the idea. Let's take a break. We're going to come back. We have news from the Apple sphere. Yes, things happened over the week, including I got a special little box from some friends in Cupertino. And I think you did as well.
I did.
And you're going to give me some good tips on how to use this special little box for my friends in Cupertino. But first, it's time to talk about Blue Apron. I know you had a wonderful time over the holidays doing what? Being with family and eating, right? Some of us had a wonderful time doing all three, families, eating, cooking. Blue Apron is the secret behind all three. Blue Apron is amazing. It brings you fresh, high-quality ingredients right to your door so you can cook an amazing meal for the people you love. Their mission? To make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. while supporting a more sustainable food system. They bring you, really good stuff. The stuff you would buy, you know, if you thought really hard about it. Oh, I'm going to get the best ingredients. They set the highest standard for ingredients, and they want to build a community of home chefs. I'm starting to do this as if it were a TED Talk. I'd like to tell you a little story about me and Blue Apron. I came to the door, and there it was on my doorstep, a box refrigerated full with the delicious ingredients. Three different meals in that box. You can get the Blue Apron for two. You can get the Blue Apron for your family. They have a family plan that's got kid-friendly ingredients. By the way, Blue Apron families cook together about three times as often, according to their own research, which is, there's something about this. You're getting the kids, instead of, you know, heading out. You don't have Applebee's in Montreal. What do you have in Georgia? What is the place people go when it's at the end of the day, they're really tired and they don't want to cook. They just are starving. They go to Tim Hortons. Right?
They might go to Tim Hortons.
And have Tim's bits for dinner, which is guaranteed the worst thing you could have for dinner.
There's probably a lot of sugar in Timbits.
Tim's bits are full of sugar. We know that. They're coated in sugar. Unfortunately, I'm sad to say you cannot get Blue Apron in Canada, but they do
you
deliver.
You can't. We've already looked it up. It's
I
sad.
Know.
Come on.
They do deliver to 99% of the continental United States. You know, the other thing I thought when I looked at Blue Apron, this is the menu plan, by the way. You can see what they're cooking for this week. Every week, different stuff. They don't repeat. And, bucatini pasta bolognese. If you learn how to make a great bolognese sauce, you will never starve. You will always... You will never be alone either. You will always have friends. I shouldn't be doing this at lunchtime.
It looks really good.
You will spend less than you would spend if you bought these same ingredients in the grocery store. On average, grocery store is about 60% more expensive than Blue Apron because they don't have the walls, the brick and mortar, the clerks, all that stuff. They just ship them direct to you. It's under $10 a person for healthy home cooked meals. I mean healthy too, with fresh ingredients. And, you know, you don't
have to. And you're learning how to cook different meals, which is really cool.
And you never have to worry about added sugar because you're making the meal. You know exactly what's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Steak and green peppercorn sauce with kale and roasted potato. Cod en papillote. That's what? Wrapped in a little thin.
Like a filo.
Filo, yeah. Joe. Yeah. With frika. I don't know what that is at all. And spinach. There's just look what's on the menu. And here's the deal. We got three meals free for you when you go to blueapron.com/twit. blueapron.com/twit. Everything good for you and your family. Keep the spirit of the holidays alive. blueapron.com/twit. Somebody, Reverend De New Year, has written a jingle for us in the chat room as we did the ad. Blue Apron is the food for me. Home cooking is the life to be. No? All right. I tried. It's time for breaking news. You wouldn't think much would go on in the world of Apple, but thank goodness Megan Maroney has put together a list of stories. Apple does not send out holiday sales information directly, but the early data from CNBC is that it had a good holiday, not a surprise, I would guess. Mixpanel, which is an app analytics company, they track smartphone and tablet activations. They tracked them during the 3 days after Christmas. Last year, of course, a lot of successes. This year, sevens. From December 25th to 27, an increase of activations over last year, the 6S, by 13%. Android, 3%. So a good post-Christmas season. The Apple Watch activations were up last year. Now, this is interesting. It might be telling. It might be a slowdown in Apple Watch sales. Last year, activations rose 20% year over year in the 3 days after Christmas. This year, just 9%. Still a rise, though, right? And
still
that's
a rise.
20 plus 9, so it's still a rise. But it's maybe...
It's more than I expected, actually.
Me too. Now, you and I both wear an Apple Watch.
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say it's not a product for everyone.
No, and I don't think it's a product that people will buy year in, year out.
Yeah.
Like if you have one Apple Watch, you probably are not going to upgrade it unless you're in the tech field.
In fact, the only reason I can see for an increase this year is that they did offer a low-priced Apple Watch Series 1 this year.
Yeah, and if you're using it for swimming, you could say, okay, That would make sense.
Yep. Apple AirPod manufacturing is expanding to meet strong demand. This is according to China's Economic Daily Times. Obviously, they're having a hard time manufacturing them. They are starting to ship, and that's that box I was holding up. I got my AirPods. They said January 12th. I got them like 2 days after Christmas, I think. So that's good. They're starting to arrive. And you and I will do our little review of AirPods in just a little bit, because you got yours too, right?
I do.
Did you order them immediately as they went on sale?
Yeah, not immediately, no. A little bit after, but they came pretty quickly. I was expecting to have to wait quite a long time, but I think that they shipped faster than I expected.
You can be notified. It's funny. I went to the Apple store in Rhode Island because my AirPods were here and I was visiting my mom. And I went to the Apple store. I said, do you have any AirPods? And the guy said, no. So instead of going to the store, you actually can get notified. 9 to 5 Mac has put together a real-time stock alert. I think it's from 9 to 5 Mac, where you give them an email address. Actually, no, I'm sorry. It's a website 9 to 5 Mac's writing about. AirPods.isinstock.com. Grammatically suspect, but you give them your email, you choose your store, and you will get a notification. But if you don't want to give them the email, which I think maybe I would not want to, because who knows, they do have a button that says view the locations, and you can see if they're in stock. Let me see here. Ontario, Ottawa, Toronto, Quebec. We want Montreal. The Apple St. Catherine store in stock.
There we go.
In stock. So,
but now that this show is live, in 20 minutes, they probably won't be.
By the way, the only stores that are in stock, 12 stores, all in Canada. Every other store in the rest of the world, out of stock.
Wow.
What? Wow. So, but this is AirPods.isinstock.com, and I gather they do it for other products. Tim Cook not revealing how sales have been, but did say that demand is very strong and they're very happy. So that's good. I'm glad AirPods are selling well. I want to give you my review, but I'm going to hold off. We're going to get a couple of news stories, and then you and I can do our review. Well, actually, you know what? Let's do it now, because you had a great tweet that inspired me. Because I look now, everybody, when they saw these AirPods, and I'm going to take mine out. Actually, do a close-up, because I want to show you how it looks. This is what the box looks like. It comes in a little cardboard box. It comes with an airport, lightning port charger, because that's what's on the bottom. You charge the case, and then when you open the case, inside there's a little green light, because the case is a battery too, and it charges the AirPods. So 5 hours of listening time for the stereo if you use them both, or actually 5 hours each if you use one at a time, so you can get a total of 10 hours. And then this will recharge them 3 or 4 times. So they say 24 hours of listening time if you've got everything fully charged. So at night, you plug this in and you charge it. And Renee says, a lot of the stuff I'm listening to is spoken word, podcasts and such. So he just puts one in and that will go 5 hours and then puts the other one in. I find them very comfortable. My wife has very small ears. And she said they bug her ears after a little while, as most of these kind of earbuds do. She uses in-ear headphones from Edemotics and prefers those. So if you have small ears, this is one size fits all. I find they fit quite well. And I will concur with Renee Ritchie. They don't fall out easily. You can move your head around and stuff. You don't wear them during your martial arts sessions, I'm sure.
You would not be able to wear them during that would be very painful.
By the way,
plus you'd probably lose one somewhere and you'd have to go to the return, try to get one AirPod back, which is embarrassing.
Yeah.
So
somebody said close it because it makes a satisfying click. You want to hear the click?
It is satisfying.
Here, I'll hold it up to the microphone. Ooh.
It's stress relief. I like opening and closing it.
It's
quite
magnetic.
A lot.
So
you get that little magnetic kind of.
They won't fall out. I actually like them, and I know you look kind of dorky. I'll put one in.
I wish they didn't. They weren't the iconic white. Is
yes.
Really what I wish for. I wish they had it in black.
Black would be not so dorky looking, right?
Yeah, it's too obvious.
They also do a nice thing. It's very easy to pair to your phone.
Yeah.
I might show you that. I'll have to unpair them and pair them again. But you know what? I don't mind doing that.
Really? Exactly.
If you've ever used a Bluetooth headphone before, you know pairing it to the phone is the worst part of the Bluetooth headphone. And they, you know, they lose the pairing and all sorts. So let me go to my Bluetooth, and I'm going to forget my EarPods. Forget this device. So I've unpaired it. Forget device, yes. And by the way, one thing that happens, it removes the device from everything because it uses iCloud to sync. So now this is how you do it. You open your Bluetooth. Then you open your AirPods next to your phone. Whoops. And boom. AirPods not connected to this phone. So I'm going to connect. Hold the button on the back of the case. I've never had to do this before. The first time, I guess because I forgot the old ones. So there's a little button, and now it's connecting my AirPods. That's how easy it was. Shows you the battery life. Boss's AirPods. Boss is my name. I tell Siri to call me Boss, so that's why they call him Boss's AirPods. I know. Psychologically damaged. It's okay.
I said nothing.
Sometimes your husband says this to you, I'm sure. Wait. Sometimes when you're around a therapist, you worry that everything you say is somehow horribly revealing.
Yeah, right. Which we're not on all the time. Like there's certain stuff that I guess you're doing all the time, but we're not analyzing people all the time. That's work. So you don't want to do work when you're not.
So you're not thinking, oh, clearly he has authority issues because he made his phone call him boss. You're not saying that.
No.
I know you're saying that. It's okay. So now it's paired. But the other thing that's cool because of iCloud is also paired. It was very easy. I went to my MacBook and it knew I had these. It said, and I just pressed connect and then it connects so I can listen. Same thing. They say it pairs to your watch, although I don't really sure how you get them to work with your watch. Do you know?
That's a good question.
There's no button.
No, I don't know.
There's a few things still missing in the ecosystem. For instance, I love how in the notifications you can have battery life, and so I have battery life of my phone and watch in my phone or my iPad. But it should add the headphones to that, right? But it doesn't. There's no apparent way to see what the battery situation is on this, unless I don't know. And somebody can fill me in on that. But that should be added to this. I'm sure they will in the next generation. Just have a little AirPods bat because the pencil shows up there. If you have an iPad. So let's just do, I haven't done this yet, but this should also be paired to my iPad because it's on the same iCloud account, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I go to Bluetooth, yep, Boss's AirPods. So so I can connect them. Anything else? I think the sound quality is excellent. I'm very pleased with the sound quality.
Yeah, the sound quality is really good. Rarely can I tell if Renee is on the AirPods versus on his phone.
Well,
and so that's even in comparison to, like, you know, having it on speaker mode, which is much worse.
One weird thing did happen to me very early on. Let me see if I can find the voicemail message. Very early on, I was saying, oh, I'm going to try the microphone. I'm going to leave myself a voicemail message. And something weird happened. I made the call, and the phone, instead of sounding like the brr, brr, sounded like blah, blah, blah. And then my voicemail message came on and said, hello, this is Leo. It was all slow. So I left a message. I thought, well, that's odd. And the message, I should play it for you because it was all messed up.
Huh.
So somehow, I hadn't done anything weird, but somehow these things got screwed up. It hasn't happened since. I left a message so that I could play it for you, but I don't think it's a good demonstration, frankly. Here, I'll play it for you. You can get the audio up. This is what the message I left sounded like. I left it in the car with people talking. I'm going to... So, it hasn't happened again, and it's not happened to you?
No, that's scary.
The problem I have is that you might not know that that's what's happening, and you might leave that message and not know.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
Yeah, that's a problem. I haven't had that, and I don't think that Renee has as of yet. So I'm not really sure what happened there.
Yeah. Some weird frequency thing happened, and it thought it was a different frequency, I would guess. But anyway, I don't mean frequency on the airwaves. I mean sample rate. The sample rate was messed up. Yeah. So that's odd. But I like the sound. You're right. The phone calls sound very good. You can't tell. The two microphones. You know what I'd love to see is a hearing aid mode. And I think a developer could do this because if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You can still hear. These don't seal your ears off. So when people talk to you and you got them in, unless you're blaring music, you can hear. But I would love it if the microphones could be on all the time and amplify. And you know, my hearing aids cost $6,000. They're very expensive.
Yeah, that would be great.
If these could be my hearing aids, I know I would look like a dork. But they're a lot less expensive. And I bet you higher fidelity than regular hearing aids would be.
Right. Save people a lot of money.
Then
they could answer their phone and they wouldn't have to worry about their aids at the same time. It could be very useful.
Right.
Anyway, and then get it hooked up to your Apple TV. This could work out really nicely.
Satisfying click even happens when you put in because it's all magnets.
It's all magnetic. The only sad part is that you get them lost in the snow. So if you lose one,
they're too white
and you're somewhere where there's snow, the white on white, it's not great. Renee has a how-to. He actually, added music.
So you jumped the gun a little bit here.
Oh, here we go.
You jumped the gun a little bit. So I was going to say, it looks a little like a dental floss case. And Georgia says, here's how you theft-proof your Apple AirPods.
Yeah. So you just cut out, grab the actual dental floss. Here we go. There, cut that baby out, print it, and then just glue it on.
Oh, because...
And no one's going to steal them. They look like dental floss.
Yeah, you're but good. On the
Unless
other hand,
dentists.
If you drop them, no one's going to pick them up because you're going to go, oh, there's a dental floss.
Yeah, but no, you're not getting these babies back. You drop them. You're not getting them back. So,
yeah, Renee lost his in the snow, and his hack was to turn them up really loud.
Yes,
and
turn the music up really loud and then listen to the snow. And the cutest part is doing the how-to, he actually dropped one and had to... He panicked and then he went, no, I have a plan. And it worked.
It worked.
But if you drop this on the ground, just worry that, you know, if you have a housekeeper or someone that doesn't know, they don't throw it out because they hate dental floss.
Right. That's what I worry that, So you're going to do that. You're going to those are yours. You're going to have them like.
Those are mine. I have my little dental floss piece on it.
Glide.
And that's it.
The price on these is $160, which is a little pricey. That you can probably get better quality headphones for less. But for Bluetooth headphones, wireless Bluetooth headphones, sound quality is great. The functionality is great. I understand people would be worried about losing them, and that certainly is a concern if you're somebody who loses things. But you really do keep them stored in this container, which is a little harder to lose than the earpods themselves. They don't seem to fall out very easily. I'm actually quite pleased. I think that...
Yes.
I think they're quite
even good. The container is soothing.
This is Apple at its best.
It's beautiful, and the fact that it charges makes you want to put them back when you're done instead of throwing them, you know, in your purse or in your pocket.
Yeah.
This makes you want to return them to the case, and it's weighted. Like, it's not a light-feeling case, so I think that there's less chance that you will lose them because of that. And Apple does have a replacement program if you've lost only one. It's not really cheap, but...
You don't have to pay $80 to get another one.
Yeah, I think that it is like $69 or... Yeah, it's still a little bit pricey to get another one, but you don't have to buy the entire thing.
You're going to see me walking around. I was walking around the house all day yesterday with these in. And I could still talk. When you take one out, it stops the music. It's a little disconcerting. You get Siri to work by double tapping it. And that's the hands-free way to turn it up, but you can also ask any Siri question. I think this is a great product from Apple. I think this is exactly what Apple's best at, which is combining very sophisticated, clever, innovative engineering with beautiful design. And I'm pleased to see Apple create a product, since they've had a couple of misses lately, this good. They've still got it. This is a great product. I'm very impressed by the Apple AirPods. And I would definitely recommend them if the price doesn't put you off. That's the only negative. You should try them first, though. If you have a small ear canal like Lisa, I said, I'll get you some, but I want you to wear these for a little while and see if you're comfortable with them. And she wasn't. So she's going to stick with her Atomotix.
Yeah, and they're not noise canceling, and that's the other thing. So a lot of people might want something that's noise canceling, and these are not.
Not for the airplane, for sure. All that jet noise, the kids crying, all that leaks through anyway. So, I don't, for that reason alone. And, you know, Bose and others make small Wi-Fi. In fact, so does Beats Wi-Fi headphones that are noise canceling. So, but I think I'll wear these a lot. And I think there's some software improvements that will inevitably come from Apple, including kind of more information about battery, like the battery status. I don't know what it is exactly, you know. Do you know how your battery is?
Oh.
Can I launch the Bluetooth?
I really don't. I think that you can launch it and take a look.
Well, I've not.
But I don't know.
I've not found a way to do that yet. I'm curious why they don't. Ah, I just found a way to do it. So when you open them next to your phone, it zips up. And
We go. Yep. That's easy enough. But that's you need good. To have your phone really, you know,
but
close
good.
And looking at it. So you
that
have
works.
To not have it in your pocket. But
right.
It would be nice if they actually had the little green light give you a few dots for battery power.
It doesn't really tell
case.
You anything. It doesn't tell you if it's fully charged or anything.
No.
It's a little strange. Like, for instance, this, according to my phone, the case is 92%. And as one would expect, as long as there's charge remaining in the case, the ear pods themselves are 100%. But that green light doesn't tell me anything. It's just,
right.
It's just on.
Yeah, just on.
Yeah. So. Okay, let's take a break. And I think it's AppCap time. Have we gotten everything in here that we wanted to get in? Oh, no, we have emails.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot. Let me see. Yeah, let's do some emails first, and then we'll take a little commercial break before we do the app caps. Incidentally, we love getting your feedback. If you want to join us on the show and ask a question, there's a phone number you can call. You can leave a message. Nobody ever does. In my living memory, no one has ever left a message on this number.
Never.
Never.
Someone has to leave one. Be the first one. You'll be special.
And here's the deal. I'm going to give you the number in a second. It's not a toll-free number, but who pays for their phone calls anymore? But here's the deal. Leave your first name and city first. Say, hi, this is Georgia from Montreal. And then a less than 30-second question, comment, or suggestion. If you make it too long, we can't use it. If you don't leave your first name and city, we can, but we prefer not to put anonymous ones on, okay? The phone number is 757-504-4723. That's actually 757-504-iPad. Easily enough. Or you can email, you can do a YouTube video, same rules, 30 seconds or less. First name, city at the beginning. Email the link to iOS Today at twit.tv. And I think Sarah Lane was always worried that the reason nobody left a voicemail, she thought people might think that she was going to answer. Like, hi, this is Sarah. Oh, I was going to leave a message. I don't want to. No one will answer the phone. It's the voicemail.
I think that people would be more excited if they thought she was going to answer.
Maybe that's it. Maybe she was just self-deprecating. Maybe that's it. Maybe we shouldn't have a voicemail. We should just have, I'll say, hi, this is Leo. What's your question? Let me write this down and we'll answer it next week.
Right. Because you're not busy enough.
I got nothing to do.
Nothing to do.
Nothing to do. I'm learning Haskell. feedback. Jacob Siegel from We Don't Know Where, because he didn't say, writes, I don't know if you know this or not, but the Mail app supports two-factor authentication now. So that means you don't have to use less secure email in order to use it. I did not know that. I don't know what he means. Oh, I get what he's saying. So in the past, if you use Google's Gmail, for instance, or an email program that supports two-factor authentication. Fastmail, my provider, does. In the past, you'd had to get a temporary app password to use it with Apple's Mail. And that I think that had to do with the fact that they didn't directly support Google's method of authentication, which, in effect, you give the login and password on Google's site, and then Google sends the authentication back to Apple Mail and says, yeah, yeah, he's who he says he is. If you support that properly, then two-factor works properly. But it's taken Apple a while to do that. Apple Mail now does it the right way using OAuth. So when you apparently, and I didn't know this, this is nice, when you set up your Apple Mail, you'll no longer have to generate a temporary password, a application-specific password, as Google calls it. You can use their own service. Thank you. That's good to know, Jacob. Kevin Mullins has a question. And I think you've done some research. God, right. I hope somebody has. Can you dictate emoji to Siri? Now, I just thought, oh, yeah, sure.
And I thought the same thing, yeah.
I tried it. But in fact, it will do emoticons, not emoji, right?
Yeah. So you can say smiley or frowny, and you're going to get the smiley text-based. Face.
And then, and by the way, Siri said smiley face to you, too, which is nice. But that's the emoticon, the old-fashioned yes. way of doing it. The colon, right. dash, parent, right paren.
But it doesn't automatically change it to an emoji. Huh. And so, like, there are some hacks that you can do it yourself, but they're going to be relatively labor-intensive. So you can go into settings and then do general keyboard and then text replace. And then you can make them the emoticon into whichever emoji you would like for any that you might use a lot of.
Okay. By the way, somebody, if you can go off my screen for a second. Okay, thank you. I was going to do this, but I want to do it to somebody where I don't mind if you get their phone number. Maybe I'll write a new one to me. I don't care if you get my phone number. Here we go. And I'm going to send myself an, okay, so you're saying, okay, so I'm going to dictate first. Smiley face, ha, ha, ha. Yeah, and unfortunately I've got those and some extra stuff because I didn't press stop. Now, isn't there a way to turn that, isn't there some sort of, didn't Apple say there would be some sort of translation system?
Well, there is, like, it'll highlight some words that are on there, and then you can click to make it an emoji when you're writing things out. But I haven't had that work for me.
Wasn't
when
there
I'm
supposed
actually
to be an emojification thing to messages where you'd write a message. Let's do another one here that says, let's see, pineapple eggplant taco. Okay. Those are three things. Oh, yeah, there we go. So if you click the thing that has, if you select the word, oh, that didn't. If I select the word,
no, I don't think I've selected.
How did I do that? It was a spell check. There it is. So if you select the word that has an emoji, you can replace it with the emoji. But let's see. Do I see that? But I don't see that for maybe because I have two smiley faces.
Mine sometimes comes on and sometimes doesn't. So sometimes you'll have like the underline and you know that you can make that an emoji versus sometimes you can't. I'm just going to try it.
It's not recognizing that emoticon and offering an emoji for it. So sad to say, Siri will not. By the way, somebody says, oh, pineapple taco. That was my dinner last night. You should get Blue Apron, my friend.
Sounds kind of tasty. Doesn't sound too bad.
Now from Matt B, we've got this video.
Hey guys, here's a quick video showing you how you can get drastically different responses from Siri just by using the Google hot word. Watch this. Show me Kebab Inn in Redford, Michigan.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Here's what I found.
Nope. Search Google for Show Me Kebab Inn in Redford, Michigan.
Oh, that's a hack.
Searching Google for Show Me Kebab Inn in Redford, Michigan.
And that worked.
There you go. There it is.
Very smart.
Same words, completely different response.
How often do you swear at Siri, Georgia?
Sometimes I do, yeah. I've sworn
daily.
At Siri before.
Daily. 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 And we were traveling last week. We were in Rhode Island, and we were spending a lot of time looking for, you know, coffee shops near me and stuff. Daily. In fact, my other workaround, it's actually very similar. Thank you, Matt B. It's very similar to your workaround, is if I know Siri's not going to understand it, I always have the Google app on my iPhone. I just launch the Google app, and that gives you access, full access to the Google Assistant, which seems to sometimes do a better job. Let's face it. Siri's getting better.
Better, not there yet.
But like all of us, she's not perfect yet. Let's see. Here's one. This one maybe you can help with. You're an Apple Watch fan. This is Robert Hafner. And let's see. I'm trying to get this up. Can you put that up on the screen? You've got it there, I think. No? I'll get it then. I've been considering a new Apple Watch. The Series 2 seems like an active outdoor person's watch, not for someone like me who can barely walk. The killer app for me would be Siri HomeKit. Controlling my house. Sorry, I wasn't talking to you, Siri. Controlling my house by talking into my watch makes me feel like I'm really living in the 21st century. My question is, how much of a performance boost would I see going from my Sport, which is a Series 1, to, I presume he means Series 2. On a related note, is there any word on Gazelle buying used Apple Watches? I don't know. Gazelle is a sponsor. They haven't said anything about buying used Apple Watches.
It says coming soon.
Yeah.
So
we did sell an Apple Watch to somebody, and we got $90 for Megan's old Sport watch, which is not a lot, but it's about a third of the value. That seems about right. So there are used Apple Watches out there, and there are places that will buy used Apple Watches, including, I think, maybe Apple. Apple has a trade-in program for iPhones. I would ask them maybe if they'll buy used Apple Watches. What do you think, though, for HomeKit? Do you use your Apple Watch for any home automation?
If I don't have my phone near me, I will. But not usually. I usually use my phone because it's within reach. Yeah. It's a little easier to interface with. But if I don't have my phone, I would,
It could do the same thing.
My watch you can to go, do it. But,
Siri, turn on the lights. And if it's set up to do that, you need a Wemo or a HomeKit and all. This is part of the problem I have, is that Siri didn't take my pause after turning on the lights seriously, and she's now writing everything I'm saying on my watch, which means I'm not going to get the result I'm hoping for. Full stop. Took a while. She's apparently trying to digest this information. I don't know what's going on.
You stalled, Siri.
I can't raise the volume any further, is what she said.
And I don't know, going from a Sports to a Series 2, I don't think that you're going to get that much. I don't think that it's really worth the upgrade. I would wait another year.
You know, the biggest...
for most people, unless you're going to be doing something...
You broke up a little bit. That's why I'm waiting to maybe your Skype cells. The biggest difference is battery life, isn't it? Have you noticed a big improvement in battery life on your Series 2?
I've noticed battery life, but I never ran through my battery in a day anyways with my first watch. So I don't know if I would need the extra boost to that.
Right. Good point. Somebody speaking of battery life in the chat room said that light will turn amber on your AirPods when you get down to less than one full charge. So the light is reflecting the total volume of battery available from the box, and it's green until you get down to less than one full charge for the AirPods themselves. So it's not 100%, obviously, but at least says, well, you're going to get one more charge at least out of that. So that's good information. All right, let's take a break. Get a funny hat. You have one handy?
I do.
I'm sure I have one around here somewhere because it's our app caps coming up next. I've got an app that has cost our studio manager, John Slanina, a lot of money. So beware. He spent it gladly, but beware. Our show today brought to you by FreshBooks. You can't spend the money until you get the money. You don't get the money if you're a freelancer or a small business until you invoice the client. It seems like a truism. And yet I have to say, it was a lesson I had to learn the hard way. When I used to go up to Canada to Montreal, not Montreal, to Toronto and to Vancouver to do the Call for Help show, I had to send an invoice after I did the week. I would go up there for a week every month. And the invoice would be for my day rate, you know, $5. And then it would be for the expenses, the travel expenses and all that stuff. The problem is I hated doing invoices. I hated it. So I'd put it off. Come to the end of the month. I bet you're in this situation too. I just put it off. Next month it come, put it off again. I actually got to one point where I sent them 6 months of invoices at one time. They were furious. They said, you can't be doing this. There's another side effect that's not so good. You don't invoice them. They don't pay you. That's when Amber MacArthur, and she was just trying to save me, said, Leo, please check out FreshBooks. FreshBooks was a startup at the time, and this was 2004 in Toronto. And they are now, in the last 10 years, they've been used by 10 million small business owners. You could try it for free. It's so much more now than it was when I started using it. It saved my life. I loved it. Make invoices in seconds, send them by email or paper. Get paid faster, too. Oh, and the clients loved it. By the way, you really have to emphasize that. Clients like it when you invoice them promptly with an invoice that's easy for them to pay. They like it so much, on average, you will get paid 11 days faster. This is FreshBooks surveyed their users 11 days faster with FreshBooks. But it's more now than just invoicing. It's actually a whole online accounting system. You'll go to your FreshBooks dashboard, this brand new dashboard they just released. And if, and by the way, if you're a FreshBooks customer, if you haven't checked out the new dashboard, do. You could stay with the old one if you want. But the new one tells you everything in one glance, everything you need to know. Invoices outstanding, how many people have paid, how many people haven't paid, who you need to invoice, your expenses, even how much money you're making. And I'll tell you what, you ask a lot of small businesses, I was this way, or freelancers, how much are you profitable this year? They probably don't know until they do their taxes, right? FreshBooks keeps you in touch with exactly how you're doing at all times. Which invoices have been sent, viewed? Yes, viewed. You can even see if they've looked at your invoice. So no more, oh, yeah, I didn't get it. You'll know. Hey, you got it. You read it. It says right here, December 26th. You read it. Overdue and outstanding invoice totals. You can brand the invoices. You can set recurring invoices, auto payment reminders, even late reminders automatically, even late fees if you want. I love it. You could track time and hours right in the app or on the website. You can manage team timesheets. You could track expenses by vendor and category. I can go on and on, but what I want you to do is try it. FreshBooks.com/iOS today. FreshBooks, and it's still, by the way, that great team of nice people in Toronto doing this. They're so nice. The best support ever. FreshBooks.com/iOS today. 30 days free. All I ask, mention iOS today when they ask you. How'd you hear about us? Oh, iOS today. Yeah. FreshBooks.com/iOS today. All right. Time for a hat. I have a hat that's suitable for the game.
Do you have
game,
a hat?
For the
oh,
game I'm going to show
cute.
You.
Very cute.
What do you got?
Very cute. Okay, my hat is more in support of Megan than it is really about my app. So here we go.
Oh, she needed this. Yes.
Wait.
You got your ski helmet and your goggles.
Goggles look are like, a little... There we go.
You're either a skier or in Daft Punk, one or the other.
Right. Right. Here we go.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
I'm up all night to get lucky. Megan, sad to say, did run into her ski. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, has a little bit of a bruise on her nose. There's sad Megan.
Aww.
I'm in search of
sad
a real
puppy.
Life Snapchat filter that will cover up my ski wound. This one will not do. Oh, looks like she got a black eye too. Well, I'm sorry, Megan. Feel better. She'll be back next
week. You should see what the ski looks like.
Destroyed it. So share with us, Georgia Dow. By the way, Georgia, thank you so much for filling in for Megan. We love having you on.
Oh, you're welcome.
You're just
I'm
awesome.
Happy to be here.
Awesome.
So thank you. So this is a game I've been playing the entire holiday, like really almost religiously, way too much. And that's Kingdom Rush. I actually started with Kingdom Rush Frontiers, and now I've finished that and I've gone on to the regular Kingdom Rush. And this is a tower defense game. And so you end up building up your towers and you try to defend the onslaught of creatures from defending your gates. The cool part and the different thing, if you're into tower defense games, is that with Kingdom Rush, you also get a hero that you can level up. So there's a character that levels up through the game that is your main hero that you can get. You can buy separate ones. For the holidays, I actually bought myself. I never usually buy things in games, but I did. I bought myself a little extra hero.
Are you playing Frontiers, the new one?
I finished Frontiers a few days ago. I loved it.
So you're playing the regular HD version? Or
now I've gone back to the regular Kingdom Rush, but Frontiers was absolutely fabulous, and really the games are almost exactly the same.
Oh, interesting.
And you can customize the boosts to your towers as well. So if you are favorited to a certain tower, you can boost up that game. It's fun. It's a strategy game. There's different levels to it, and so I'm really having way too much fun. I've spent way too many hours on this game, so that's my AFCAP.
I agree 100% with you. I'm a big fan of the tower defense games because they're more than just like Clash of Clans or these other attack games. They're fun because you have to kind of you have to be strategic. I'm gonna be casual in this one because I let's go to battle. This is the tutorial that Kingdom Rush starts you off with. And it has a little cartoony feel to it, which I think makes it a little bit more family-friendly or just fun than Clash of Clans. And there's so many of these war games now that are kind of hyper-realistic. And I think this is better. And I do like... So the bad guys are going to come from here, right? And march around.
No, the other way around.
From here and march around there. They're trying to get to here. So I'm going to build... You get a certain amount of money. I'm going to build a couple of... You tell me if I'm right to do this. A bombard?
Well, you probably want to build it close to the area at the end because you're going to get, like, usually you want to build some stuff that's
money.
There or some... Well, don't worry. Don't worry. You'll be okay.
Let's
You'll be
start
okay.
the battle. Let's see. Here come the baddies.
And they have great lines.
Goblins.
Like, they have lines from movies and, you know, shows that are really, really popular that people say. And if... Press on the sheep a couple of times.
Sheep?
There's little sheep on the game.
Oh.
Yeah, press on them a few times. And if you keep on going, keep on pressing on the same sheep. And tap it. Yeah, tap.
Oh, he's gone. I killed him.
Yeah.
What am I making mutton?
You're making mutton.
Oh, my God, it exploded. Oh, wait a minute. Can I? Oh, I don't have any money. They're coming again. I'm in trouble.
I think you're going to be okay.
You think so? Oh, man.
That last guy is probably going
to... I like to put things at bends because then they can hit... You can get them coming
and
going,
all
right?
The way around.
Yeah. Oh, thank goodness.
You got it.
Just
that
made
was close.
That one. This is fun. Kingdom Rush. I played this when it first came out. I haven't seen the newest versions of this. This is a lot of fun.
So it's a lot of fun.
I got a little more money, so maybe I'll do summon some troops. Where? How do I get reinforcements? Here?
So those reinforcements now tap anywhere, and they go there, and they'll keep your people.
They slow them down.
Which is kind of neat.
Those are free. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, good. They're doing mopping up operations.
Right, exactly.
So there's no tower, but they do. They call this category tower defense because you've got enemies coming in. They've got a goal, and your job is to keep them from getting to the end goal. This is also a tower defense game. In fact, it's based. My AFCAP is based on Field Runners, which was one of the best tower defense games of all time. Right? You must have played it. Yeah,
I have played that game way too many times. Yeah.
So now they've taken Field Runners, and they've meshed it with games, war battle games like Clash of Clans, to create Field Runners Attack! And this is a great game. Free to play, just as Kingdom Rush is, with lots of in-app purchases, right? That's how they get you. But
they get you. If you want some more powerful heroes, you always want something better.
Were you able to play Kingdom Rush without spending a lot of money?
I spent nothing except for on one extra hero. Just recently, I bought myself for the holidays a little $1.99 hero. But that was it. So you can play the game fully without paying anything.
That. Yeah, and this one is similar, but I know some people have spent hundreds of dollars already. I don't know who. But that's a sign that it is very engaging. So this is a tower defense because an attack going to come, right? I'm going for the achievements here. To defend our base, we need to upgrade towers to make them stronger. So let me... I need to do that also. So let's upgrade this. And we're doing some upgrades. Now, sometimes these upgrades are a few seconds, but as you get farther along in the game, John tells me it can be days to upgrade, much like Clash of Clans.
See, that's what's going to get you to pay for the upgrades.
Speed things up.
You don't want to wait that long.
I got some apples. If you keep winning battles, you'll unlock new defenses. You get heroes. John likes this because your heroes persist through the various battles. So there are sheep, but they don't explode when I tap them. They just bounce away. Chickens, sheep. Oh, here's my guys. They're going out to do a little mining or reconnaissance or something. I don't know where they're going. They apparently know what they're doing. They're going out to chop down some wood, huh? Why are they going so... Oh, there they go. Here we go. And they're going to get this one here. Nice. So eventually... That's a gold refinery. Here's the hospital. You know, I probably should build some barracks, shouldn't I, John? Would that be the first thing you'd build? I got two out of the six builders. Let's get some more. I need more gems. Oh, so this is where they get you. This is where they get you. I try to play these games without spending money, but I usually fail in the long run. So eventually, bad guys from the other villages will come to get me. Is there an online component? Actually, John, would you bring me your iPad? Because I just want to show you how, if you spend a little time playing Field Runner's Attack, your village gets a little bit more elaborate.
Wow.
A pinch so we can see the whole thing? It's pretty big. I can't even get the whole thing on the screen even if I pinch. John says he got lucky early on. He got helicopters, which will go over walls. So just like Clash of Clans, it's really less of a defense game, more like a Clash of Clans battle game. You go out and attack other people's villages, and they will eventually attack you. There's quite a bit of strategy. John tells me that you know there's certain things you really want to pay attention to, like where your barracks are and so forth. You also... will be attacked by other people, online people, or no?
When you're offline.
But only when you're not there. And this is much like Clash of Clans. When you're in your town doing stuff, they're not allowed to attack. You can choose to attack somebody else. We're going to see. Now, I'm not going to attack, John. Don't worry. I did?
I saw him. Oh, did he?
Oh, I'm sorry. Can I cancel?
No. But,
John, you better play this. I'm so sorry. John has a good... John sends in the helicopters.
Entire game.
He sends in the helicopters. What else? Anything
show.
Else? Point at something? Okay. I should get the barracks, right? Which is the barracks? John, help me. There. See, he made his barracks. See, he says if you attack the barracks, you can get them out of there, and they aren't going to bother you. Then you want to go and leave because you've done that. And now you can attack the edges, right? Because the barracks are the only ones that will send things. Oh, he's got his own helicopters. Let's get rid of those. You got to get... Oh, there's other barracks. Dag nabbit. See, he's got his defenses. Anyway, you get the idea. This really looks like a lot of fun, John. I'm sorry I just destroyed your...
Oh, no. Oh.
Yeah, let's get this barracks over here. Am I gone? Game over, man. Oh, I got two more guys?
Yeah, just tap it.
All right. What kind of guys should I get?
Oh, the chicken.
The chicken.
Yeah, the chicken.
Chicken is exploding?
Drop him here and then point at something.
Exploding chickens.
Oh,
how can
great.
You not love a game with exploding chickens?
That's just wonderful.
Oh, you shouldn't blow up the hospitals, John says. That's really immoral and a violation of the Geneva Accords for video games.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, you're just breaking all the rules.
Yeah, I'm a terrible person.
My favorite is the helicopter that drops chickens.
There's a helicopter that drops chickens.
Is that the red one?
Oh, you still have some room left. Let's get rid of these defensive helicopters real quick. There we go. You have a pretty good contingent of armed forces here. Now let's drop some chickens on some stuff. This is fun. All right. So this is the new Field Runners attack. John discovered this over the Christmas vacation and has been playing it nonstop. And I don't blame him one cotton picking bit. What a lot of fun. And Alex Lindsay did recommend this on Mac Break Weekly last week, or 2 weeks ago, I guess, the last show before the end of the year. I don't know. Do you like this kind of game, Georgia?
I do. I like that kind of game. I think that one might be almost too addictive.
Judging by John's considerable outlay, I'd say yes. Mike hasn't spent a dime, so you can't.
Just as much fun.
Okay, there you go. You don't have to spend money, but John says, "Hey, you know, it's my Christmas present to myself." Yeah.
I get it. It's true. And if you're enjoying the game, it's worth the money that you're spending on it.
I can't wait to go home and play.
Hundreds of dollars worth, maybe. I don't know.
I spent $300 on The Simpsons on donuts on The Simpsons Online. And ever since, I've been very careful and wary about games exactly like this. Curse you, John.
At least you weren't asleep and one of your kids used your finger to...
Yes. Right.
Unlock some Pokemon.
Did you hear that actually happened? Do you believe that?
Yes,
is that possible?
I do. I fully believe it.
Your boys would do that, wouldn't they?
No, they know because they know I would find out and then they would never get to play again.
Mommy's
but
put it on the thing.
Well, they would have to put my finger and they would have to put in my passcode, so.
Ah, see, you're no fool.
No, it's not happening. Yeah, exactly.
Baby. Yep.
Two-factor, go in.
Georgia Dow is at imore.com. That's where she writes. She also is a therapist working in Montreal and does great videos. You don't have to be in Montreal to take advantage of her insight, warmth, and wisdom. Go to anxiety-videos.com, right?
Yes.
And there are videos on better sleep, eliminating anxiety and depression this time of year. There's some great videos there. It's a really valuable, wonderful site you do with your cohort. Your colleague, whose name escapes me.
Sandra Reisch.
I didn't want to.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah. Really good. Anxiety-videos.com. I wanted to give you a plug for that. Have a wonderful new year. I hope to see a lot more of you in 2017.
Thank you so much. You I would to, love to be here more.
You have to wear that helmet every time from now on.
I'm ready.
Oh,
I'm ready.
She's daft and she's a punk. Hey, we can finally see your setup there. You've got dual screens
yeah,
in front of
lights.
You. Look at that. Plus an iPad.
Yeah, those are the lights. They're the lights.
Nice.
I have, like, you know, the mic.
Oh, Georgia Dow, thank you so much. We do iOS Today every Monday, 11 a.m. Pacific. No, I'm sorry, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern time. That's 2100 UTC. I'd love it if you'd stop by and join us. Or join us in the studio. We have some nice people came by. Although this is the second day of the new year, they decided to visit. You can email tickets at twit.tv. We'll put a chair out for you. You can also watch after the fact. All of our shows are available in audio and video at twit.tv. In the case of this show, it's twit.tv/iOS. They're also on YouTube. If you go to youtube.com/twit, that's our central page, which, by the way, don't tell YouTube, but you can now watch us live on youtube.com/twit. We're streaming live there. And there are links to every show, so you can watch them there or get a podcatcher, you know, the Apple Podcast app or iTunes, and subscribe. That way you won't miss an episode. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time on iOS Today. Bye-bye.